Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. And if there are people out there listening and they say, boy, I'm not going to be able to listen to all the show today or tomorrow, Today's Issues, but I'd like to listen to it, you know, when I want to. How can they do that?
Well, it's called a podcast, and folks, for just about all our shows, we have podcasts available, and the way, and so this is, these are recorded, and they are categorized according to the show, and you can find these collections. You go to afr.net. There's a drop-down menu for podcasts. You can click on that, and it'll bring up all the shows. And if you want to listen to Today's Issues, you can click on it, and those will be categorized according to date. If you like Trivia Friday, it has its own click-through menu for the podcast. So afr.net, click on podcasts, and you can find your favorite show and listen to whatever you've missed.
Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us now in studio. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. If you can't, ladies and gentlemen, if you can't stay for the whole program, we're going to have to mark you absent, especially since most of the important stuff happens late in the show. So
you're talking about the third segment, well, by any chance?
Yeah, by maybe.
What do you got, Steve?
All right. Trump derangement syndrome has set in among some evangelicals. We know we've talked a little bit here about people like Russell Moore,
right,
and his ilk, David French, and such. Well, let's add Pastor Matt Chandler to that particular list. He is the pastor of the Village Church in Flower Mound, Texas. He is a very influential church planner, and a couple of weeks ago, Megan Basham of the Megan Basham, the reporter, great reporter, she's the one that found this, and she's putting it out. I want you to hear what Matt Chandler had to say, and this is, he's talking about the Republicans siding with the GOP, with Republicans, I'm sorry, with evangelicals, with pro-lifers, siding with Republicans. He's talking about the link between pro-lifers and the Republican Party. All right, so let's listen to what he has to say. Cut five.
In 1972, go read their charter. Not a single word about God or abortion in there. They were losing elections. They developed a strategy in the 70s to co-opt us and make us their people. They know we're easily manipulated. We are easily worked into a frenzy. We can be controlled by them. They can, and that's what they did. And they are not for us. They do not all believe what we believe. This is a strategy. So I feel used by, when they talk about us and to us, I feel in my guts, like, get my name out of your mouth. You do not represent me.
Wow.
All right, so I heard this over the weekend and I flipped out. Okay, you know, some people say that preachers should not talk about politics. Well, Matt Chandler should not talk about politics or history, because that is logically and historically garbage, what he said. Now, let me just break this down for you folks. Now, I haven't liked Matt Chandler for a while because he has thoroughly gone woke. But that statement, those statements he made, I'm not going to say he's lying. I'm just saying he's wrong. And until he gets his history straight, he shouldn't talk about the history of politics in this country. So let me break this down for you. Yes, it is true that in 1972, the Republican platform did not mention God or abortion, because 1973 is when Roe versus Wade was decided and abortion was made legal across the country. Second of all, to say that the Republicans decided to go after evangelical Christians because they were losing elections is also nonsense. Richard Nixon won handily in 1968. In 1972, he won every state over George McGovern, except for Massachusetts and one delegate in Virginia. Richard Nixon won 520 electoral votes to 17. All right. So Republicans were not losing elections. They weren't desperate to try to find another constituency. But after Roe versus Wade in 1973, Christians began to think, we need to probably start getting involved. It wasn't the Republicans looking to co-opt Christians. By the way, that little diatribe about how easily swayed we are and hysterical and all those kind of things, maybe Matt Chandler is easily persuaded, okay? But many Christians are not.
He said manipulated.
Manipulated. Well, Matt Chandler, maybe I hope you have a good board of elders if you're easily manipulated. Speak for yourself, all right? Third of all, Christians and evangelicals did not start getting involved in politics until 1976 when Jimmy Carter ran, okay? Jimmy Carter opened up politics to evangelical Democrat. And born-again voters when he told in an interview, I want to say it was the Playboy interview, that he was a born-again Christian. That's who opened up politics. However, because a lot of evangelicals didn't like Jimmy Carter's policies, they started to follow Ronald Reagan, who narrowly lost the primaries for the nomination for the Republicans to Gerald Ford. But that's who started drawing evangelicals to the Republican Party against the wishes of the Republican establishment, contrary to what Matt Chandler said. And then it was Jerry Falwell in 1979 who started the Moral Majority that I think helped get Ronald Reagan elected in 1980. None of what Matt Chandler said is historically accurate, and it's insulting to Christians. And if he wants to talk about himself, about how poor a judge of character he is, that's fine. But don't put the rest of us in that category. And Matt Chandler, you get my name out of your mouth. All right. I've had my say because I flipped.
Well,
when I heard
for those who don't know, Matt Chandler is a very popular pastor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but he's well known across the country in evangelical circles, his books and messages and so forth. And was that clip that we just heard? I guess that was recent,
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, he's really angry right there.
I don't recall him saying anything in 2008, 2016.
Why didn't he 2012? Talk about, does he also talk about the Democrat Party?
I didn't listen to the entire sermon.
Yeah. Okay. To add, first of all, I agree with what your analysis there and of what Matt Chandler's. The history, the correct history that you gave that he didn't give.
All right. Can I just toss one other thing in?
I
know I'm worked up.
Yeah.
Listen, AFA started in 1977. Other ministries started. This was not the Republicans trying to co-opt Christians. It was Christians waking up.
Right.
We're talking about Phyllis Schlafly.
Right.
Who started, I think, in 73. We're talking about Dr. D. James Kennedy. More than just Jerry Falwell,
Dobson,
Christians started others. To realize we've got to get involved in the culture and politics. We were looking for a home,
right?
A political home. But I don't know any Christian that would say GOP right or wrong.
No,
this is a bunch. This man should be ashamed of himself at the very least because he got it all wrong. All right, that's it.
Maybe he does a fair analysis of the Democrat Party, too.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll wait. Political parties.
I'm just kidding. I don't think I've heard it.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
no.
Go ahead. Go ahead and say what you're going to say there.
Political parties they're not an entity of themselves. They are a collection of various special interests that get together and say, we will agree to fight as a team for these sets of principles. I may not be a big Second Amendment guy, but since you are all, you know, I can advocate for you if you help me with the pro-life business. And that's the way you get an entrance into any kind of policy in
right.
this country. It's the way that it's just how things are done, and it's not evil. It's just a collection of people who agree on certain sets of principles that agree to pool their resources.
Yeah.
Pro-lifers were just one of those constituencies. So, they're not – we don't agree with everything, but there's nothing in the Republican Party, at least there hasn't been, that's disqualifying. And so we.
Well, yeah, I hear what you're saying, Steve, and I've said this before. Political parties are not religious institutions.
Yeah.
They're not Christian denominations. The leader of the Republican Party is not a pastor, or a Democrat Party is not a pastor. So it's not the same thing. If you're expecting theological purity from a politician that you're going to vote for to be president or governor, that is an unfair expectation to have. Maybe that's the wrong way to phrase it. If you're going to vote on a pastor, are you going to vote on an elder or a deacon in your church, a leader, a Sunday school teacher, whatever? Do you have the right to expect that they have doctrinal consistency with your church's teachings? Absolutely. But when you're talking about something like politics in America, this is this is the general public that's making the decision,
right?
Not just your church. So in the end, you have to make a decision on which candidate, which party best represents your beliefs. Is it going to be 100%? Absolutely no. It's not going to be 100%. But if you don't get involved in whatever political party or campaign you're going to get involved in to try to persuade that campaign or that party to adopt a particular position, you have to get in there and fight for it. You have to get in there and fight for it, sometimes against people who don't agree with you. All right?
Right.
And so that's just the way it is. If you're going to take the position that you must have purity of, you know what I'm saying, of theological matters as it relates to politics, then you just need to join the Amish, okay? And just right. live out by yourself and don't vote at all. I don't think they vote, do they? Amish?
I've seen stories that they are going to be in
They're
Pennsylvania.
They're changing?
They're going to be a force in Pennsylvania for Donald Trump.
That messes up my whole thing. But
sorry.
Anyway, you get the idea.
Yeah.
Okay, you get the idea. So, listen, you have to go. This is me. I wrote a column about this, which will be coming out just in the next day or two. You have to go with the candidate who has a chance to win, who represents your views closest. That's what Ronald Reagan said, right. And others. That's when it comes to politics. Now, again, if you had me voting on a pastor or a elder or a deacon in the church, I would say 50% agreement's not going to cut it.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
So you see my point?
Yeah.
So when we have, it's interesting to me, some Christians who are critical of evangelicals who support the Republican Party, they want to cite this, that, or the other as reasons why you can't support the Republican Party, but they never, ever turn the tables and say, well, what about the Democrat Party?
Right.
Let's critique them. And can an evangelical or a conservative Catholic, for example, support the Democrat Party or not? No, they just want to say, you know, Trump this or
yeah.
or
Matt
whatever.
Chandler did say that the Democrat Party was no better on abortion. But this is why I think we may be all kind of overthinking this. Matt Chandler said some things that were not so kind about Donald Trump in his sermon. And I think that Matt Chandler has been affected with Trump derangement syndrome, and the reason that he is railing against it is because he hates Donald Trump, and that's it. I don't believe that he has a problem with the Republican Party or pro-lifers being associated with it. He just doesn't want them to be associated or have anything positive to say about Donald Trump. That's my...
Yeah, well, maybe so. I don't know. Listen, I don't like a lot of stuff Trump does either. He's embarrassing sometimes. Saturday in Wisconsin, he's at an event talking about private parts.
Things we can't talk about on the radio.
About Arnold Palmer. I'm going like, what in the world are you doing? So he does that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, but what are you going to do? You're going to vote for a communist or a Marxist? Huh? So you have to go with. After you realize character doesn't matter anymore to Americans, I don't think. This is my view. I don't think
you're
character.
You're not saying it should or shouldn't. You're saying it doesn't.
I I'm saying it character doesn't matter as much as it used to.
Right.
Or it should.
Like when Jimmy Carter was running.
That's just a reality.
Yeah.
Don't you agree with me on
that? Absolutely. And it really kind of started with Bill Clinton.
That's what I meant.
And Democrats. Anyway, I don't want to go back.
So I'm just saying, what are you going to vote for? If you're going to vote, you don't like Trump's personality. Okay. I'm not voting for his personality in the end, or his character or lack thereof. I'm voting for the policies that are going to be implemented that are going to affect millions and millions of people in the future of our country. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And when you say his character, you're saying, listen, he's coarse, which explains the comments in Wisconsin. He is aggressive verbally.
He was in Pennsylvania. He did that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say, you believe that he is going to do what he said he's going to do. So it's not that his character
is completely
bankrupt.
I think so. I hope he is. I hope he is. And I trust him more than I trust Kamala Harris.
Right.
And his belief and Trump's fundamental beliefs about our country are something I can support. Yeah. And so I absolutely. And he's like I said, who you going to pick, Harris? You going to pick Trump? You got to pick one or the other.
That's the choice.
So, anyway, go ahead, Steve.
All right. The United States is investigating the unauthorized release of classified documents detailing Israel's planned attack against Iran. The documents were spun up by the U.S. Geospatial Intelligence Agency and the National Security Agency. They consisted of satellite photographs of where Iran was sending its troops, massing its troops, prior to supposed intervention against Iran. This is to respond to Iran's ballistic missile attack on October the 1st. But no one's sure who leaked all this information. It was leaked to Axios and CNN. So they've got a big, huge investigation going on because this kind of compromises the mission in Israel. And, of course, we've been kind of questioning the administration's commitment to that mission in the first place. So this kind of raises all kinds of questions.
Listen, no one's going to go to jail over leaking official documents. I'm guessing this had to be classified information.
It's top secret.
Nobody is, I don't even think the federal government is going to find out who did it, because you want to know how I know? Because they still haven't found who leaked the Dobbs decision from the Supreme Court with just a handful of potential suspects.
Or who left cocaine in the White House.
Listen, the federal government is too big, it is out of control, and this administration doesn't prosecute anyone unless you're a J6er or an old lady praying at an abortion clinic. These are the only kinds of folks they go after.
Well, they go after mayors of New York, too.
Well, that's true. But I would say it's because Eric Adams was complaining about the administration's border policies.
Maybe you're right about that.
But anyway, I don't think anything's going to come out of this, although the only way this kind of thing stops is if someone goes to prison for 10 years. You investigate it, you find out who did it, you prove who did it, and then you put them in prison for espionage. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, it comes on the heels of an attack on Benjamin Netanyahu's private home. He has a home in Caesarea. It's a fairly nice neighborhood. And the Hezbollah from Lebanon launched 3 drones. 2 of them were intercepted. 1 of them wasn't, and hit the home of Benjamin Netanyahu. He was not home at the time, but it was the deliberate attack. They're calling it an assassination attempt. This is what Benjamin Netanyahu had to say afterwards. He was talking, I think this is probably his very friendly media, certainly, but this is what he had to say after the bombing cut 9.
Prime Minister, how is it going?
Well, 2 days ago, we took out Yahya Sinwar, the terrorist mastermind, whose goons beheaded our men, raped our women, burnt babies alive. We took him out. And we're continuing our battle with Iran's other terrorist proxies. We're going to win this war.
So will something deter you?
No.
You sound like a man determined to me.
He does.
Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel.
I was just going to say, if you're the mullahs of Iran, and you authorize this attempted assassination of Benjamin Netanyahu, I'd be looking out your bedroom window.
And don't use your pager.
And don't use your pager, because turnabout is fair play.
So on the heels of this assassination attempt, Benjamin Netanyahu got a phone call from Donald Trump and also from Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. He did not get a phone call or any notification or notice from Joe Biden or Kamala Harris.
Well, Kamala Harris is for the other side.
Well, and in fact, I can kind of let's talk about that, because she was at a gathering in Pennsylvania when a anti.
Can yep. I say? Let me interpret my comment just so there's sure. no. I'm not saying that Kamala Harris is for killing Jews,
right?
All right, or in favor of that kind of thing. What I'm saying is her comments and her politics align with the align with keeping Hamas alive and Hezbollah alive. Appeasement, okay? So that's what I'm trying to say.
And this is one of those examples. Again, she was in Pennsylvania at a small gathering. It was in a home, I think. And one of these pro-Palestinian protesters spoke up, you're going to hear it, and wanted to know what she thought about the ongoing genocide, which is what they call the war in
Gaza.
And this is what she had to say. This is, I just had it cut.
This is awkward.
I know it is. I just had it. Where was it?
You want a deal, Ed? Well, Steve finds out. Could play some cards here.
I know. Huh? Well, we did keep it in. Anyway, she said that they were right to talk about.
You have that clip, or you don't know it?
Oh, maybe we. Okay, we had to get rid of a bunch of clips. Maybe that's what we got rid of.
She says there's a. She says to the protest. The protester is pro Hamas, and she is trying to say trying to keep the disruption down. But she also says about the genocide. She says it's true.
Yep, it's real.
It's real. She said it's real. So she agrees. She's agreeing with the protester that there's genocide going on. Genocide by the Israelis against the people of Gaza. That's what she would say. I've said this before. There's a war going on between Israel and Hamas, and the battlefield is basically where civilians live. That is where the Palestinian Arab people live there in Gaza. So there's a lot of innocent people, and by innocent I mean non-combatants, who have died in this war, sadly, tragically. But Israel, however they try to reduce the number of Palestinian people there who die, it's unavoidable, because it's like having to fight urban warfare. So it's an impossible situation, if you want to critique everything Israel does, to say, okay, well, these people, innocent people died. But it's not genocide. Genocide is when you go after people based on their ethnicity, right? Or their race.
Or their religion, any okay. characteristic.
What Hitler did to the Jews was genocide, right? What Israel is doing with Hamas and those people, the combatants in Gaza, is trying to take out the combatants. Not try to, if they wanted to wipe out Gaza, they could probably do that pretty easily.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? With weapons, and just wipe the whole place out.
As you say, it's the worst genocide in the history of the world.
Yeah. All right. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks for listening. My thanks to Steve, Ed, Chris, and Brent Creeley, our producer. We'll see you next time.